Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league home run with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Throw does over the middle.
There you go.
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot, and Gretzky in 3-0. Los Angeles, Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody. Today is Tuesday, December the 19th, 2017. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Another edition of Drive Time is always driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Santa specials still underway. Visit the MonroeSuperstore.com. One of my favorites, 2018 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4, $168 a month, 27-month lease. Many great deals going on here at the Superstore. All of our guests, by the way, come courtesy of the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. You're tuned to Toledo Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Jim Cushlin's back at the studios. Of course, this for the low payment king as well. Two tickets, Outback Bowl, Michigan taking on South Carolina. That's on New Year's Day, noon, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Also a $200 Visa gift card as well. Winner will be chosen on the 21st. That's this coming Friday. Visit the website or the Superstore Facebook page as well. Ken, glad to have you on board. Tom Gage will join us tonight. Tried to get Tom on right after the voting was in for the Modern Era Committee with Alan Trammell and Jack Morris, going to be inducted this summer into the Baseball Hall of Fame. He was booked heavily. Of course, he has a book out, The Men and the Moments That Made the Detroit Tigers the Big 50. The forward, by the way, Alan Trammell. He's a Hall of Fame writer. Tom Cage joins us at 5:15 tonight. 5:35, Judd Silverman will join us. Of course, we'll get an update on the Marathon Classic. Also saw the story this week of how many charities really benefit for the Marathon Classic. A good job there, Judd, by the way. Also want to get an update on the Solheim Cup. That'll be at Inverness Club in 2021. Plus, Dave Briggs did a wonderful story, really the rerouting and the redesign again of the Inverness Club. Basically, what they're trying to do is make it more appealing back to the original state when it was first designed and first built. And again, the goal, trying to get majors back at the Inverness Club. So that's coming up tonight, a little baseball, a little golf, and a football-type season. Bowl number 6 tonight, by the way, of 39 bowl games tonight. It's Akron. They are 17-point underdogs to the Florida Atlantic Fighting Lane Kiffins, who just signed a 10-year contract there. So that's the only bowl game tonight. Bowl games under really, really going in a direction now. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's upon us. Great time of the year. Come on up to the Superstore as well. Lions do not get any help last night from Tampa. Give Tampa Bay a lot of kudos. They played very hard. Had a lot of guys banged up during the game. They were 7-point underdogs and just couldn't get it done. So really there's about 4 or 5 scenarios that the Detroit Lions can still get in. I just read through, you know, 4 of those. The first one, I think, is the easiest route. Of course, that is the Detroit Lions winning out and the Atlanta Falcons losing their last two games. They play New Orleans. They play Carolina. Very losable games, believe me. So Lions have Cincinnati and Green Bay. Green Bay today putting Aaron Rodgers on the IR for the rest of the season. They are officially eliminated from playoff competition. No sense getting Aaron Rodgers hurt, so that's the situation there as well. Just a lineup, by the way. Tomorrow night we'll be at the Loft Restaurant, Sylvania Tamashanner. Thursday night we'll be at Casa de Habana over on Monroe Street, and our good friends at Port Royal there on C Corp for the cigar lover in your family. Gift ideas. So Thursday night, again, Casa de Habana. Then Friday night, a weekend bowl preview, which will include guests, of course, for the University of Toledo. The Rockets taking on Appalachian State. That will be on Saturday night. Again, that preview show coming to you from Bar 145. Tom Gage right around the corner, but before we do that, Jim, any updates on the ESPN schedule tonight and the rest of the week that you want to touch on?
Our programming update, we got a little college basketball tonight. Ohio State takes on Citadel at Valley City Arena, 6:30, the coverage time, right here on the ticket. Then coming up on Thursday, a couple of more college basketball games. Bowling Green's at Green Bay, 6:30 on 100.7. And then Michigan will take on Alabama A&M also Thursday. That's a little later, 8:30, 98.3 Nash Icon, our sister station. So we got some college hoops for you over the course of the next couple days, and then we'll eventually get to the various football and such over the weekend.
Well, bowl games, what's the situation there? Really, if you're not doing the local programming, myself and Bob and other things penciled in, what's the bowl lineup? Just about everything in the evening, I'm going to guess, and more.
Yeah, in terms of bowl games that we'll be picking up, we're going to pick them up when the, some of those games, quote-unquote, matter a little bit more. Example, on December 30th, we're going to have a triple header right here on the ticket. Liberty Bowl followed by Fiesta and Orange. And then on New Year's Day, in addition to the Michigan Outback Bowl on our sister station, 93 Nash Icon, and of course, by the way, the Cotton Bowl Friday night, the 29th, Buckeyes and USC here on the ticket. On New Year's Day, we'll have the Citrus Bowl. That's Notre Dame, by the way, followed by the two semifinals, Rose and Sugar, for another triple header.
Good stuff, Jim. All right, everybody. Tom Gage right around the corner. My name is Mike Miller. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Trammell Morris Tiger Talk after this timeout.
Sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Toledo Sports Leader. My name is Mike Miller, home of the Lions, of course, the Michigan Wolverines over on Nash Icon, home of the Ohio State Buckeyes as well. Judd Silverman will join us at 5:35, of course, time of the year where the Marathon Classic, the golf tournament, LPGA event, handing out the charity checks last week. Hats off. A lot of money to a lot of great causes in the area. Also want to get an update on the Solheim Cup, the biggest event in women's golf, will be here in Toledo 2021 out at the Inverness Club. And, of course, the big story in the paper Sunday about the redo of the Inverness Club that's hosted many PGA championships, U.S. Opens, and more. They're talking about a redesign again to make it more appealing for more major golf events, the historic Inverness Club. So we're going to try to warm things up here around 5:35 tonight with a little golf talk as well. Joining us now, Tom Gage. The book is The Men and the Moments That Made Detroit Tigers Baseball, the Big 50, by the way, and a great gift. I have that book, by the way, on my end table. I don't go cover to cover. I just see who appeals to me that night, and I'll read a chapter, Tiger fans, all the usual places, I'm sure, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Again, the Big 50, again, the Detroit Tigers. Tom Gage joins us, Spink Award winner, Hall of Famer. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
Very good. Listen, I think the last time we talked, I told you about my tangent, the real only tangent that I've had against the Detroit Tigers over the last 5 years of this show is why is Alan Trammell not in the Baseball Hall of Fame? My wishes, along with a lot of other people, they were answered. Of course, Alan and Jack Morris going in the Modern Era Committee, named them number one and two. They'll get inducted this summer. Two guys that you covered, two guys you had a relationship with. I'm sure you were thrilled as well.
I was. They're both good guys. Tram, I think, the world of. I've always said that if you could pick your next-door neighbor, he would be the type that you would want to have. He's just a good, solid person. And Jack, I certainly had my battles with Jack, but that's back when he was battling hitters and the opposition and the media and everybody. He lumped everybody into basically his an opponent's category. And it wasn't until, Mike, this was just by coincidence. I was sitting next to him on a commercial flight back to Detroit from Boston, and we got to talking. We talked the whole flight, and I realized, you know, he's just as competitive with us as he is with anybody else. And once I began to understand Jack a little bit better, I got to like him better. And since he's retired, he's tried very hard to patch up some of the things he did. He's kind of a changed person. He's even called umpires to apologize for yelling at those guys. But I'm happy for Jack because I think he deserves it.
I think he did too. And I got to tell you, Tom, and you said something. You talked about Jack Morris and that competitive nature. Listen, I've been around these guys myself, and I think if you're going to get everybody that performs at a professional in a professional sport at that level, it's not all cookie cutter. Believe me, you're going to find a ton of different personalities. You're going to be around some people that rub other folks the wrong way. I will say this. I've been in hockey for almost 40 years, and I've always said at the top of the list have been hockey players. And for the most part, I think, you know, I've run into very few that have rubbed me the wrong way. But you know what? I'm not surprised. It's just like society. People are different. And listen, not everybody's going to be the same in this thing. And some people, when they're competing, I mean, they're competing with everybody. You know, I'm just sure that's how Jack was. And I did see, you know, from Orlando there at the winter meetings or the GM meetings when, you know, he got emotional. And I said, you know what? Now, this is a guy, you mentioned the word change, but you know what? Part of that edge he had was part of who he was, and I completely understand. Hey, back to Alan Trammell as Tom Gage joins us here in the Vito's Pizza phone line, ingredients you can trust. This is ESPN 106.5, the ticket driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. I said this, and this is nothing against some of the guys that are in, but I went up and down the list with the 21 shortstops that were in the Hall of Fame and started comparing numbers. Long overdue, but the one thing, Tom, that you witnessed that I thought – and then I know Ozzie Smith had the flash and had a great glove and is deserving a great ball player. But I remember that infield grass, Tom, at Tiger Stadium where Ozzie, and I'm not taking anything away from him, quickness was a real key here. You're getting the ball, you're retrieving balls on a big hop. But I remember Alan Trammell charging balls, having to play the position in a complete way. And that's what kind of got me going about this whole thing. What a complete player.
He was, and that's really a good point. You know, I spoke to both of them last week because I'm writing some pieces for the Hall of Fame program. And I asked Jack about Tram. I said, in your mind's eye, when you see Tram, when you roll back the years and you're watching him play again, what sticks out in your mind? I said, is it the double down the third baseline, you know, that really was his signature hit, or was it the spin and throw behind second base? And Mike, he said, neither one of those, Tom. He said, what I see in Alan Trammell is a hard ground ball to shortstop, right to him, but on which he does everything perfectly. You know, technique was everything. And you had to have a shortstop. Yes, he could make the plays. He wasn't flashy, but he could make the plays. But what he had to do is be dependable on all the plays, on all the routine plays. And those pitchers trusted Alan Trammell. They trusted Lou Whitaker, and that's what Jack thinks of, that a trustworthy shortstop, a guy who never let them down.
No, I couldn't agree more, and that was right in my wheelhouse. I think I've told you this before. I don't root for a lot of teams. Lions, Tigers, and Ohio State, and grew up in that era. You and I had the lineup. You corrected me on my 1961 Detroit Tigers lineup. I forget who I had. Either Jake Wood or somebody. I think I had Jerry Lumpy at second base. But anyways, you're exactly right. You want to talk about dependable. Hey, I had to laugh. I thought Alan Trammell, Tom Gage, joins us here on Drive Time, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. But I loved Alan Trammell talking about Sparky Anderson, somebody else you knew very well, Tom, talking about when he was 19, Sparky Anderson saying, come on, Alan, you go up to the plate like you're hitting with a wet newspaper. I had to laugh, and that was kind of Sparky's way. We see a lot of good things in you, but you got to start swinging the bat and more authority at the plate.
I asked Tram, as much as you like Sparky and he liked you, did he ever yell at you? And he said, you bet he did. He said, I wasn't a perfect player. I did things wrong. And we both remembered a day in 1987, July 19th, Tiger Stadium against Seattle. Bergman on first base, Trammell on second. The Tigers are down. Trammell tries to steal third, doesn't make it. End of game. And he said, "You talk about a bonehead play." He said, "It was a good thought. I had signaled to Bergie that I was going to try to take third, and for Dave to try to get to take second, and maybe we could tie the game up." But he said it was still a stupid play, and Sparky told me it was a stupid play. He was not happy with it. I tried to defend my reasoning, he said, but he was right. And he said what was important is that Sparky always tried to make you see why, you know, what was the mistake, and he tried to make you a better player. Yes, he was upset because it cost us a game, but the important thing was the salvaging of the player himself. And he said, I never made that mistake again. And Sparky would get on players. Hey, at one time in Toronto, the media got let in early, Mike, to the clubhouse after a game, and he was just screaming at Jack Morris for not handing him the ball when he wanted to. Jack was upset being taken out of the game, and we were hearing some things we weren't supposed to hear. You know, being reporters, of course, it was great to hear them because it was kind of an inside story, but I just couldn't believe Sparky was yelling as loudly as he could, as he was at Jack. But Sparky was mild mannered much of the time. But boy, if he was upset with you, he could make the wall shake.
Again, Tom Gage joins us, Spink Award winner, the men and moments that made the Detroit Tigers the Big 50. Great gift idea. For Tiger fans, listen, you knew this question was coming. I guess I'm going to ask it in a different way, Tom Gage.
Lou Whitaker.
Alan, I guess because Alan Trammell and Jack Morris made it in, they're both Tigers. You've been on committees before. I'm sure you have a Hall of Fame a vote in something like this. Because two Tigers have already gone in this first ballot of the modern committee, Tom Gage, do you think in a strange way that might hurt Lou Whitaker's chances?
I don't think it'll hurt them. I think what would help, Mike, is if I think the Tigers should retire his number anyway. Why wait until he gets into the Hall of Fame? The reason Alan Trammell is going into the Hall of Fame partly is because of Lou Whitaker and because they were such a great double play combination. Don't make Lou wait. And it's what difference does it make if you do it now or do it in 10 years if he makes it through another committee? The guy was a great player. Let them, if not into the Hall of Fame together, at least let them have their numbers retired together, and I'm all for it, and frankly, so is Tram.
And you know what? Listen, this is one area, and I spent 10 years in New York, and believe me, I had nights off, and over in Moonaki, my family, Tom, was still here in Michigan. I had a little apartment there near the Meadowlands and Giant Stadium. And, you know, third or fourth inning at Yankee Stadium, I get in my car, go across the bridge, scalp a ticket, and sit there for three, four innings and watch baseball. One night I had a chance to go through, you know, the monuments out there in center. I mean, seemed like everybody and their brother was out. Listen, a lot of guys deserving, some I didn't really buy. But, you know, I mean, to that same point, I want to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bill Freehand made the American League All-Star team 11 out of the 13 years that he played, and his number's not up, at Comerica Park. What? Not to get into a big thing here, but you're, and Mickey Lolich. I think Mickey Lolich was the leading left-handed strikeout pitcher for many, many years till Randy Johnson surpassed him. I don't see a 29 out there anyways. Tell me a little bit about that. I just think there's some guys that, for the most part, you know, the Tigers are missing the boat on these guys.
Well, I'd love it if Lolich had his number retired, because, Mike, I've written another book, and it's coming out in June, about the 68 season, focusing on Lolich. And people forget how great a pitcher he was. And he just was a different generation that most fans can't relate to anymore. I mean, to average 330 innings over a span of 4 years, to face 1,500 hitters in one season, where pitchers today don't face 1,000. I mean, this guy was durable. He was he gave up a lot of home runs, and his ERA might not be the what a lot of people would want. But for the number of complete games he had, for the number of starts he made, for the number of innings he threw in just 16 seasons, I think Mickey Lolich does have a case to be in the Hall of Fame.
No doubt about it. And I look at Lance Parrish's numbers. We've had Lance on this show, Tom, a couple of times this year talking about some of the prospects, you know, down in Erie. By the way, if you come in the Superstore, you'll see a photograph of Mickey Lolich here as well. Two quick ones, I'll let you go. And first things first, I got a kick out of number six there from Orlando during the press conference with Alan Trammell and Jack Morris. And I had a chance to meet Al Kaline one time. It was at Oakland Hills Golf Club. I was up there playing with some friends one day that we had a wonderful afternoon. I was walking out to the parking lot. I'd had a couple of pops, and we had just a wonderful summer day. And coming up the steps was my idol, Al Kaline, just as gracious as I thought he would be. But I'm watching him at this, Tom, at this press conference for Alan and Jack Morris. And the guy that stood up in the second row was the only guy standing up applauding, was Al Kaline. It was great to see him so happy for those two guys getting in.
Great observation. I saw the same thing. In fact, I asked Trammell about it. I said, yeah, here he was at a press conference, and the media is not going to stand probably for, you know, because it's just not what they do. They don't stand and clap, even at a Hall of Fame press conference. However, there was Kaline right behind them, and every time he stood up, he had this just great look of joy on his face. And it really was a great thing to see. And I was happy for the two of them, but I was happy also for Al, who was taking great pride in the franchise. Hey, let me just say one thing about Jack Morris, by the way, because we just talked about longevity and durability with Mickey Lolich. 1983, Mike, Jack Morris makes 37 starts. He wins 20 games, and he throws 293.2 innings in his 37 starts. If you do the math, that's only two innings short of 8 innings per game, and that's really a great season.
No, it really is. Before I let you go real quick, any comments on, I don't know what to call it, Tom Gage, Spink Award winner, a reboot, rebuild, Al Avila moving forward with the Tigers. I'm going to guess the guys in Vegas will have the over-under at about 62 wins on the year. So it's going to be a process. Oh, the only thing I've said is look at Houston a couple of years ago. Nobody expected the Yankees to do much this year. Any thoughts on the Tigers moving forward?
Well, if I'm going to remodel my house, Mike, I want the wall standing, and I'm not sure the Tigers have the wall standing anymore. They certainly have Cabrera, and if he gets his health back, he can be a reason to go to the ballpark. But I'm afraid I just don't see much more than that right now to entertain the fans. Hopefully Victor comes back can hit, but I don't think he'll last the season, because once he shows maybe some marketability, they'll probably peddle him. I think, I worry a bit that they've taken this too far, because you got to have more going into a season than the Tigers are going to have.
Tom, listen, keep me posted on all your projects and books, and congratulations on being part of Jack and Alan Trammell's induction as well, and that's a great honor again for you. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas. Keep me posted on the Lolich book, and appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Mike. It's always great being on your show.
That's Tom Gage here on Drive Time, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. I have to laugh. You look at this replica of a Jeep here in the Superstore's showroom, and about every 10th photograph, Mickey Lolich comes up there along with the low payment king. Santa's special continues. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. My name's Mike Miller. TAS Electronics update right around the corner. Little sports, little weather, little traffic brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. This is Drive Time.
Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Quick reminder, low payment Kings got two tickets to the Outback Bowl. Your name's on them. Michigan taking on the South Carolina Gamecocks. That's New Year's Day, noon, at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. $200 Visa gift card as well. We're going to select the winners this coming Friday, the 21st. Visit the website or the Facebook page at Monroe Dodge for all the rules and how you get involved in that as well. Again, glad to have you on board, everybody. I really enjoyed my conversation with Tom Gage, Spink Award winner, writer, Major League Baseball, longtime beat writer for the Detroit Tigers, talking about, of course, Alan Trammell and Jack Morris, the modern era committee, basically voting them in to be inducted in the Hall of Fame this summer. So warm things up a little bit with baseball. We're going to warm things up as well with both our heart and a little golf as Judd Silverman joins us. He is the director of the Marathon Classic. Hello, Judd. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mike. How you doing today?
Always good hearing your voice. I'm doing great, and happy holidays to you, Judd. Thanks for
Indeed,
taking
Mike.
The time. And hey,
sure.
You know, I love reading about the charities and a lot of folks out there needing help. And as always, the Marathon Classic coming through, and congratulations on that again.
Well, thanks so much, Mike. You know, our charity luncheon was on Friday, and we were able to distribute $523,000 as a result of this year's Marathon Classic presented by Owens Corning and OI. So it was a great day, and to spread that money around about six different counties in Northwest Ohio, really made all possible by generous sponsors, great volunteers that the tournament has every year. So we're happy to be able to support these children's charities, and quite frankly, I wish we could do more. There's so much need out there in the community, but we'll be working every day until next year's event to try and exceed $523,000 next year.
No, good stuff. Again, congratulations for that, Judd. Speaking of the Marathon Classic, tell me a little bit about any updates you can give us at this very early juncture going into the tournament this summer. Anything going on you want to touch on? Hey, I got great gift ideas, by the way, for stocking stuffers. Tickets are available.
Yes, Mike, we do have run a 2-for-1 sale on weekly grounds tickets, and people can pick up those tickets at any Toledo area Kroger store and designate a children's charity, to receive the proceeds from the sale. You can also go on our website, marathonclassic.com, and purchase tickets. And again,
it's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, everybody, a part of live radio over the years, and I've been in it a long time, is every now and then you lose a connection. I don't know if it was over at the studios in Arlington or up here in Monroe, but Judd Silverman joins us again. Judd, sorry about that. A little technical glitch. Again, appreciate your patience. Hey, we were talking about number one, the gift ideas, of course, and the 2-for-1. And I think you were about to give us an update on the tournament. Any news you could pass along?
Well, Mike, at this stage of the game, you know, we're out there selling our Pro-Am events. We've got five different Pro-Am events planned for next year. So if anyone's interested in participating in one of our Pro-Ams, you can contact the Marathon Classic office. And, we're just putting the event together and planning, the various events that happen leading up to the actual 72-hole tournament. But right now it's all about sales and sponsorships and that type of thing. And, you know, we're just getting the tournament rolling for next year.
No, good stuff. And you're doing it in a great sports town. We talked about that with Dan Cummins last week in the show, between Cleveland and Detroit and all the college sports and this and that. And your tournament, boy, we are right in the wheelhouse. I was traveling last week, Mr. Silverman, who joins us here in the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients that you can trust. And at an airport restaurant, I was looking at the big screen up there, and boy, warmed me up quite a bit. They were from Des Moines, and they were showing the Solheim Cup, the 2017 edition, and all of a sudden 2019 will be here, then 2021 out at Inverness. Any breaking news or anything you can pass along? I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but I know you're probably already elbow deep into it. Any news out of the Solheim Cup 2021?
Well, at this point, we're just putting together our marketing plan for 2021 Solheim Cup, and I would imagine by, you know, mid-2018, we will be out selling various hospitality packages and that type of thing. As far as tickets going on sale, that may not happen until 2019, but you know, the planning behind the scenes has definitely begun, Mike, and it's very exciting. And all I can tell the listeners is the 2021 Solheim Cup is going to be a great event for our community. You know, Inverness, with the renovation project that they've got going on out there, the golf course is going to be really incredible with all the work that's being done on three new holes and renovating all of the bunkers and that type of thing. It's just spectacular. So rest assured, people will start to hear more and more about the Solheim Cup really beginning in 2018.
You know what, Judd? I saw Dave Briggs and his story on Sunday, and it was very, very good reading for folks that like golf. And I know you're a historian as well. And, you know, I got thinking, and Dave was talking about also appealing not only these renovations for the Solheim Cup coming up in 2021. But, you know, to kind of get back into the rotation for a major back in Toledo, I read into that, and that's part of the equation in two and as well, and basically part of the rework. Any other comments on that? And, I mean, I think it's great. And I thought the one writer, I forget now, that Dave was quoting, talking about, listen, Erin Hills and Chambers Bay and, you know, different type of venues. But there's something about a major being held or a Solheim Cup at a track or at a club or at a facility that's got a little bit of history and a track record behind it.
Well, no doubt about it. And rest assured that, you know, Inverness is doing everything it can to have discussions with the USGA and the PGA of America about, you know, a future U.S. Open and PGA Championship. You know, the competition is stiff, and the competition, of course, is from major markets. You know, you might say Erin Hills is not a major market, but when you consider that it's extremely close within driving distance of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Chicago, and Milwaukee, and Green Bay, it really is a good venue and a good location. But, you know, we have a great story to tell, not only the history of Inverness, but, you know, everything that's going on in Toledo and really the transformation of our downtown. You know, the leadership downtown led by Randy Ostra from ProMedica and everything that's going on down there is just extraordinary. And it's happening, you know, right before our eyes. And just seems like every day there's a new announcement of something happening in downtown, you know, a new development for housing and or new retail and restaurants, and it's incredible. So we do have a great story to tell, Mike. We are telling the story, and I would tell you that the folks at the USGA and the PGA of America have been very open-minded about talking to us about bringing a major championship back to Toledo. But there's a lot of competition out there, but we'll just keep pounding on the door.
No, I know you will, Judd. Hey, listen, thanks for coming on. And if we got to keep pounding on the door and we got to do it locally here for all these great events, please let me know. Great having you on. Great to hear your voice. It's been a while. You need anything, let us know here at Drive Time. And, again, happy holidays to you, your family, everybody involved, the volunteers. Again, congratulations on a great job with the charities. And we'll talk again down the road.
Sounds good, Mike, and thanks so much for the time, and happy holidays to you and all those great golf fans out there who supported this year's Marathon Classic.
That's Judd Silverman, Vito's Pizza Phone Line and Greedy and Chicken Trust. Thanks, Judd. Judd Silverman. Judd Silverman, of course, Tournament Director, Marathon Classic. Back to close it out after this. This is Drive.